A yellow frame encompasses a black rectangle. National Geographic. Good morning, America, please.
This morning, free solo Alex Honnold climbing an unexplored rock formation deep in the Amazon known as Tapui.
A team gathers supplies beside a small aircraft.
And I work with the team on this and followed their journey. They brought along scientist Bruce Means, who believes these Tapuis are teeming with biodiversity. He likens it to a hidden Galapagos full of undiscovered species and wants to see them protected.
Daytime cliffs peak over wispy clouds.
All these Tapuis, almost every one, has sometimes up to 1,000-foot tall fringing summit cliffs. And none of those have been explored for new species.
A speck of orange colors the sheer cliffside. Alex, in an orange windbreaker, finds a new foothold in the rock.
I think most people are pretty surprised when they find out that there are crazy towers out in the jungle.
Green creeps up the Tapui, giving way to stone.
It's like this mythical place, you know, where there's stuff that's wilder than anything that you could make up, and it really exists.
A rainbow forms in the spray of a waterfall. Alex continues to climb into cloud coverage.
Doing first ascents, I mean, it really is modern exploration because you are going on to, you know, in this case, a piece of rock that no human has ever touched. And so you really don't know what you're going to find.
His feet dingles as he adjusts his grip. He draws up a foot to a crevice. He inserts an anchor into a crack, then repositions it.
You have to rein in the fear, rein in the uncertainty, and just remain calm as you literally step into the unknown.
Alex propels upward, grasping a higher handhold. His feet dingle. He releases a handhold and peers down. White bold letters appear beside him. Explorer. The edges of a map surround an elevated island in the sky. The last Tapui. Words appear. Gaana. Motorboats cut through a jungle river.
We're on an expedition into the glorious heart of South America, the Tapuis.
Dr. Bruce Means writes next to Alex.
I've been here with Bruce before. The last time I was here was...
Mark Sinnott.
...was 2006.
Expedition leader.
So it's been 15 years, and I've been trying to get back ever since.
The team approaches a muddy bank. Villagers greet them.
When Bruce and I did our first expedition here, I witnessed this passion that he had for science.
Bruce grins and holds a green snake that wraps around his arm.
I know on one of the trips, I think he found 9 new species. And I was like, oh, holy like this, what he's doing, he's basically on a one-man mission to save this entire area by finding and cataloging enough new species to prove to the world that it's this unrivaled biodiversity hotspot that must be protected. But he's nearly 80 years old now, and there's one final place he has never been able to get to complete his work. High on the cliff walls themselves.
A child leans on a porch's railing.
So, I called Alex Honnold.
Free Solo appears over El Capitan's sheer rock face.
Alex is one of the boldest, if not the single boldest climber in the world. I told him what we were gonna try to do, and Alex loved the idea of getting Bruce up the cliff, and Alex is a can-do kind of guy. And he wants to make it happen.
Alex, an old professional climber.
A trip like this with a renowned biologist, with a great team, with a cool objective. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that comes along all the time. It's something that I've always wanted to do in my life. My role on the trip is to make sure that we successfully climb the wall. And I think that, you know, particularly with an 80-year-old man, I mean, we're going to be pretty careful about it. But I think it'll be really scary.
Nighttime in a tent.
4,000 feet. I had us veering off down at 3,750, which is the closest to the wall.
But that's like 2,000 feet of vertical, huh? Bruce, is that adequate for you?
Yeah, I should be able to get specimens. They have to be in museums to document that you found them. and I need to get a little DNA from them.
Fuku Pisani.
Don't you think they have to deal also with a small area?
Yeah.
If we can just get you to the top.
Yeah.
And you can do the full survey.
They consider a map.
The very best case scenario would be that the wall is steep enough that the rope basically hangs freely down in a plumb line, and then we basically haul him the way that you would haul a bag. Like, he would basically just be sitting on a little chair, just slowly levitating up the wall, enjoying the view, looking for species.
Okay, but what if it's not overhanging?
Then we'll have to do some improvising. Thankfully, you brought a climber with you.
Yeah,
sort it
well,
out.
I have Honnold to take. Well, the problem is that Honnold, even though he's all gung-ho, he can't haul Bruce himself.
No, but that's why we have a team.
He's going to need some help.
The sun breaks the jungle's horizon.
Our climbing objective is deep in the Amazon jungle.
The team tracks a narrow path.
This is what the view looks like ahead. 35 miles of jungle, tracking.
Over a brook, a team member balances as he crosses a log. Using trekking poles, Bruce leads the team.
Well done, Bruce, cruising.
Being with Bruce in the jungle is an incredible way to appreciate the diversity of life around. I mean, he just knows the backstory of everything.
Oh, look, right there. Isn't that cool?
A spider.
It's like going to a party with someone who knows everyone. He's like, oh, that guy used to date that girl, and then they hung out, and then that person did. You know, he knows all the relationships, and I think that as you appreciate the complex web of relationships in the jungle more, it makes it much more engaging.
Oh, something good, y'all.
Spiders cover a web.
Spiders are predacious, and they usually eat each other, so they're usually solitary. But there are some that are colonial, and this is one of them. That is cool. Wow.
His passion for nature is so inspiring to me. Inspiring not only as a biologist, but as a person. And I'm honored to be in an expedition with him.
Bruce holds a black and yellow snake.
This expedition is sort of the culmination of all my work in South America.
In a photo, young Bruce presents a snake.
It all started, you know, as a child when I began to appreciate nature and wonder about the meaning of everything. And I soon became fascinated by 9 or 10 years old with evolution. So I caught lizards and snakes and tarantulas and scorpions, kept them in jars. Oh, this is cool. You see the little yellow tail tip?
He holds a snake jar.
And ultimately, it led me to this wonderful region, and then fell in love with tapuis.
There we go.
A tarantula scales his arm. Through wispy clouds, tapuis towers over the jungle.
Tapuis are sort of islands in the sky. They were probably eroded into the sandstone from Africa when South America and Africa were connected millions and millions of years ago.
Clouds hover around the waterfalls.
This expedition is the first expedition to attempt to look at the walls of tapuis to see whether there are unique flora and fauna growing on those walls.
Bruce treks through the jungle.
Hopefully, by assessing the species richness of this particular area, may compel government leaders and the people of Guyana to want to conserve this fabulous, beautiful place.
This is his dream come true. This trip, you know, could be kind of his magnum opus.
That is cool. Wow.
A mottled frog sits on a leaf, a montage of expedition photos.
He's been on 33 tapuis expeditions. He's never been on the cliff. And so that's what we're here to do, is to take Bruce on a journey up to the top of the tapuis itself to look for new species and to catalog, you know, what exists in this really, you know, unique place in the world that scientists haven't really explored.
Day 6. The team camps in tents made from wood structures. Alex peeks out of a hammock. Water drips from the tarp roof.
Hey, Troy, how's the weather today?
Subtitles, the weather not really too good, not really too bad. The weather all right. Are we still a go?
Yeah. No problem.
No problem.
Hiking through the jungle to approach the Tepuys is sort of an interesting experience because you start in the rainforest, which is technical hiking, you know, stepping over roots, crossing streams. And then each day it gets progressively harder and harder as you get closer to the Tepuys, closer to the actual big walls, because the terrain gets steeper and more vegetated, and, you know, it just steadily builds on you the whole way. You're like, oh, it just keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse.
It's a war of attrition against the mud and saturation when you're in these forests, so it's hard.
Mud comes to Bruce's ankle.
Getting a little tiring now. I think I've been doing this today.
He checks his watch.
Almost 6 hours.
I'm a little concerned about Bruce because the terrain is getting steeper and more complicated.
He slides down a ravine.
Bruce is, you know, just moving more slowly than we all anticipated, with more difficulty. I think even he's, like, surprised at how hard he's getting his butt kicked.
Okay there, Bruce?
He slips and falls.
I'm all right. You okay?
Yeah. It's hard, you know, not to worry whether we're going to be able to pull this off.
Mark supports Bruce up uneven ground.
Keep on trucking. Only 4 more days to Duffy's Rock.
Mark smiles.
Then we get to the gnarly part.
Day 10. The team hikes up an incline. Bruce grips a narrow tree trunk and pauses. He steps over a log.
Careful, take it slow.
Sitting, he slides down.
Oh, this is gonna be so treacherous for Bruce.
At a crude ladder, they lower supplies with a rope.
He just got to the steepest part, so he's putting on a harness, and Mark is gonna maybe put him on belay.
Fuko secures a climbing rope.
It's like, in a way, it's kind of easy, but in a way, it's like if you fell, you would possibly die, so.
The Acawayos built this rickety ladder.
Wearing the harness, Bruce descends the ladder.
One at a time.
Yeah, they're big steps.
Yeah, I see that.
That's the problem for me is bending my knees.
Yes, I can see what I'm doing. Oh.
Let's see.
He takes another step down.
Awesome, Bruce. We're almost there. You're a trooper.
Bruce and Alex high five.
Dude, that was an incredible effort. Now you just got to slip and slide through the mud for about 10 more minutes.
Well, mud I can do.
There's a bit of misery and there's some suffering, but the payout, it's stuff that completely blows your mind.
Through the trees, a waterfall flows into a basin. Base camp, Double Drop Falls. The water flows in tiered levels.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait to get in that water.
Walking a double drop?
Hot dog.
At the base, Fuko and Mark hug.
That was a really big moment for Bruce. I know it's one of his favorite places on Earth, and I know it was part of his dream just to get there.
Bruce raises his arms in the air.
This is my Shangri-La.
He lounges in the water.
The most wild, pristine, remote, beautiful place I've been on the planet. I can't believe I was able to return one last time.
It was an awesome moment, but at the same time, we were getting deeper and deeper into the middle of nowhere and getting, you know, committed to a scary degree. I was looking at the approach and thinking, how in the world are we gonna get Bruce through this terrain? Oh my God.
Mark, what do we got?
There's Guayasaful.
The Tapuis cliffs tower beyond the trees.
That looks gnarly. Like, climbing that is not gonna be easy. Especially not bringing an 80-year-old up it.
Bruce holds a tiny yellow frog on his knuckle. Day 11 at camp.
All the porters are helping Bruce to get all the frogs, lizards, snakes, spiders. It's madness in camp.
Fuku Pisani, climber and biologist, smiles.
Oh, you got a big tarantula.
The Goliath spider, the largest spider in the world. In this particular part of the world, the original inventory of the animals and plants here has not been completed.
This snake eats snails.
The porters gather around Bruce.
And now we're starting to find that as we discover more and more species, it's becoming a more and more important biodiversity hotspot.
The final piece of the puzzle is discovering what lives up on the Tapui walls. It's such an extreme place to get to. Scientists have simply not been able to explore it.
Water drips from the tent's tarps.
So I've been promising Bruce that he's going to get up the wall, but I don't really know how it's going to happen yet. I mean, it's probably going to involve some hybrid combination of techniques and strategies, but at this point, the challenge is trekking through the jungle as an 80-year-old.
Bruce slides and climbs through the mud.
After we saw how bad Bruce got beaten up, Alex Foucault and I were already like, wow. And it became apparent that it was going to take him a lot longer than we had anticipated to get to the base of the wall. What we're gonna do, I think, is we're going to halve the distance that we were going to be covering each day. So that does mean that the approach is going to take twice as long.
Well, no, it means that Bruce can do half the distance, but maybe we still do full distance for some of it to make sure that the weight of the wall, you know, I mean, we can divide and conquer a little bit.
Yeah, we have to.
That's what we should talk about at dinner.
Yes, I guess, yeah.
Because there's definitely a world in which the gear and the climbing team sticks to the same schedule. Bruce takes whatever pace he needs, and it all works out fine.
My biggest fear would be that my age and my physical ability might deter or might somehow slow up the expedition. That bothers me, worries me a lot.
Nighttime, in a tent, the team gathers.
The one thing that we could do is we move forward with the porters, you know, with the line cutters, and we blaze the trail to the base of the cliff while Bruce stays and does his stuff at Double Drop. Mm. Then the trail is in, and then either we double back, maybe to spend some time with him, or we just start working on the climb. Right. And he's catching up.
I think half camps make sense, at least for, you know, the majority of the team. You know, because safety, I think, really has to be a priority.
I'm for whatever you guys want to do. I'm not pushing for anything. I mean, I'm okay with doing the little single thing because I like to be out in the woods all alone, and I've done that for years and years, but I made almost 80. You know, yesterday I had several potential bone-breaking falls, and...
We need to reduce that down to nil.
Yeah.
That's so it seems like we all agree that we're going to split legs. You're going to pace yourself. It's going to be great. So we have a plan for the next couple of days. Cool. So, let's go to bed. You gotta get to sleep. We have another big day tomorrow. Let's wrap it up.
Using a headlight, Bruce writes in a journal.
The kind of research I do, you could call it alpha level science. I'm going out in nature and I'm looking to see what I can find there.
He sketches.
It'll be a real delightful surprise if we were to find something new to science on a cliff. I mean, I couldn't ask for better than Mark and Alex Honnold to try to get me up that wall.
In patches, vines climb the Tapui's cliffside. Sunlight streams through the jungle's canopy. The team packs their gear. Day 12.
See you, boys.
All right, we'll see you up there.
Today's the day when we are hopefully getting to the wall at long last. Total unknown. No one has ever been up there. Today's a really big, important day for the expedition.
An Amerindian man sharpens a machete.
The Amerindians are a specialist of the jungle.
He cuts through vines.
They're just good at moving through the terrain. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have our whole team. And we don't even know how to hike through the jungle. I can't orienteer in the jungle at all. I don't know where we're going.
He points.
They've got a plan. Let's just let them execute their vision.
Do you guys see the orange wall right there?
Yeah. On the left.
On the left.
Yeah.
That's where we're trying to get.
The Amerindians peer around Mark at the Tupui. A crew member launches a drone.
Do you guys want to see the ridge?
He shows the team the remote's tablet display.
We let them go.
Goodbye, drone.
It zooms past tall trees.
We saw the wall from the trail, and we started planning where we could climb.
I can go lower, too.
An Amerindian man points at the tablet.
Yeah, this is the ridge we're turning around. Mm-hmm. And it's over the side to the Roraima side, the train down, and over the side.
It's freaking tall, dude.
Well, look at all the veg along to the right of the orange fizz.
Well, see, that's the shelf that we were talking about. Maybe there's a traverse. You could just sort of see it.
Yeah.
When we saw the features that we were trying to recognize, we pretty much knew where to go.
The drone lands in a crew member's outstretched hand.
Success!
You look out to the distance and it's like a whole little island, but getting to the wall is actually incredibly complicated.
The crew scales root-strewn muddy walls.
It's like if you imagine just the thickest, like, deep, like peat moss or something.
Watch out for holes.
Mark struggles through a chasm of uneven boulders.
You're balancing on this skinny little log, and if you slip on this, you're falling down into this deep crevasse. Oh, I don't know how we're gonna get Bruce up through this.
It's pretty crazy right there.
Just simply the most treacherous stuff that I've ever had to move through.
Boy. He lowers into a chasm.
So this will require more than a chainsaw for making it easy for Bruce. Or a helicopter. Whoa.
A foot falls through moss-covered debris.
All of a sudden, the jungle opens up and this wall of rock appears.
Holy.
Mark pauses at the base of the Tupui's cliff. He turns and scans the jungle and neighboring tepuis.
Dude, this is so sick.
This is insane.
It was crazy. But here we are deep in the jungle, so I guess at this point, I guess we're actually gonna climb the wall.
Pulling away, the crew disappears in the scale of the full cliffside. Clouds hover over the Tupui.
After what we just went through today, it's kind of impossible for me to picture Bruce coming up that. That was beyond anything that I've ever done. So yeah, so that's a problem.
Jungle camp. In headlamps, Bruce and the team doctor, Brian, slowly trek through the mud. The headlamps shine through the thick jungle.
Oh my gosh.
twilight, outside camp, Bruce lowers himself onto a stump.
Well, this definitely today was right up there with the most strenuous day because I was going uphill all day.
Yeah, I'm worried, Bruce. It's my gut feeling that if we push on, we're risking your life.
Oh, boy. Can we wait to see what Mark says?
Absolutely. You know, I think this will need to be a team decision, but my opinion is that...
Well, yours is...
That this, you're the medical. This is not worth risking your life for, and that we're really going into a territory that has hazards that we can't mitigate.
Nighttime. Mark raises a radio.
Mark.
Hey, Bruce. Great to hear your voice, man. How you doing? You sound a little beat.
I need to hear from you, but...
Let's see what your point of view is about me coming up there. Over.
Yeah, so...
The terrain in between us and you is just way too serious and too dangerous, really, I think, for us to feel good about you moving up through it.
We're just worried, you know, that you get hurt. There'd be
no real way for us to evacuate you. Over.
Mark and Fuko hang their heads.
I understand. I'm not happy about it, but the success of the expedition depends on me and everybody else not getting terribly injured. You guys
can continue the elevational transect, so anything you guys obtain, and Fuko especially, who knows the herpetofauna pretty well, if you can grab it and bag it for me and when you get back down here.
We will have completed the entire transect. I will send a drawing of a species of Stephania up there.
That is new to science and you're very likely to get.
So anything and everything that you guys do while you're on the wall and on the summit will benefit our
expedition greatly, even if I'm not up there myself.
Okay, Bruce, I'm gonna do my best to try to find the lucky Stephania.
Fantastic, Fuko. I know if anybody can do it, it'll be you.
Over and out. I've already found several new species of frogs in the genus Stephania at the base of the Tapui. My theory is that we should discover a new species of Stephania that evolved on the top of the Tapui.
Daytime.
I felt like I was letting the team down. Of course, I wanted to do it myself, but I respected their advice. Hopefully, to the likelihood of me getting home alive.
Morning light illuminates the orange rock of the Tapui. Butting up to the rock face, hammocks hang from trees. Wall camp.
Oh my God. Holy
Mark lifts the camera.
The clouds just lifted out for the first time in forever. Rainbow. Rainbow, rainbow, rainbow. God, this kind of makes it all worthwhile.
Be pumped to see some blue?
Best view so far. Rainbows.
A rainbow arcs over a waterfall spray.
This is absolutely breathtaking. The most dramatic scene I think I've ever witnessed in the mountains. Packing for the wall. We're finally launching.
A row of carabiners hangs from Fuko's harness.
Fuko, that just came up with the porters.
Let me take a look.
Is that, oh, that's the sketch for the frog we're looking for?
Yep.
Fuko unfolds the sketch.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's so cool. This is the frog that Bruce wants us to look for up on the wall. Mm-hmm. New species of Stephania. Sounds from like summit that. Of Waiasapu.
I do have some degree of expertise in the field of biology. So I feel the responsibility to be an eye for Bruce on the wall.
We're gonna start the route. Time to don the helmet, harness on, get racked up. Yeah, it's awesome.
climbing.
Wearing climbing shoes, Fuko finds purchase.
This cliff has never been climbed. So the plan is to work our way up the rock and find the route as we go.
A lion snakes the rock face.
After about 800 feet, there's a ledge where we can hopefully set up camp.
Ledge camp.
From there, we'll traverse the ledge all the way to the summit plateau, searching for frogs and other creatures all along the way.
The line follows the ledge and ends at the summit plateau.
A little bit higher up, there's a nice horizontal crack where you might just get a bomber pin. Let me know if you come across anything sketchy.
Yeah. This is actually a little sketchy.
Okay.
This is all loose here.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Alex kicks away loose rocks. Rock breaks away in his hand. He makes a handhold.
Yeah, it's crazy like how the rock is both like so bad and so good in some ways.
Have to be careful.
On a first ascent, there's going to be loose rocks.
A kicked rock drops to the jungle far below.
A lot of stuff like that going on.
That's probably the biggest hazard that you face when you're, you know, pioneering a new route. I mean, we're talking things that can be huge, like pieces of rock the size of a school bus. You know, if something like that comes off when you're climbing, it could definitely kill you. Just don't know what you can trust.
Mark knocks on the rock.
Watch me good, Fuko.
Yep, got you.
Bunch of loot.
A gap pins Mark's shoulder.
Okay.
Alex reaches Fuko above. Mark inserts his finger into a crack.
Yeah.
He pulls himself onto a ledge next to Fuko.
That's hard.
It was.
First pitch. Fuko. Woo! Nice job.
Bruce stares at the tepui from the jungle floor.
Wow. So did they say where they're going up? Right up the middle of that, I guess. I've seen this scene from the air in satellite photos, but to actually be here, it's more breathtaking than any aerial shot could ever be. It's really exciting to me that the cliff itself has ledges and other places, cracks and fissures, where vegetation grows. And those are very likely spots where some of the animals I ministered in could live. And if Fuko and Mark and Alex are able to find any animals on the cliff, like frogs or lizards, it'll be a really great discovery. Nobody's ever done any work on the cliff. As you can see why.
At a rudimentary table, Bruce sets up a small portable shooting tent.
As disappointed as I am that I won't be able to personally continue the transect to the summit of Wayasapu, I'm very happy that colleagues are doing that for me, and I'm going to be able to spend a week in this paradise right here by myself, looking at all those amazing organisms that occur in this site. And here I am situated for maybe a week to be able to go out at night and look at and study and photograph creatures I love.
Stars and clouds rapidly move across the sky. Nighttime, Bruce treks through the jungle as rain falls. He scans the ground with a flashlight and headlight.
Our search zone extends from my jungle camp to the top of the tepui.
He illuminates a grasshopper.
This entire area is full of undiscovered species.
That little frog
right there, I've never seen anything like it. So here we got another new species.
It's so cool.
Yeah, congrats. This will help add to the biodiversity inventory we're making of the area and could aid in its conservation, ultimately. Pretty cool.
A field biologist's dream.
Daytime. Alex finds handholds in the cracks of the rock wall.
How's it look?
Pretty wild.
He glances down the sheer drop.
One of the most challenging things in climbing in general is fear of the unknown and basically keeping your mind under control as you encounter difficulties. And first ascents are basically an amplified version of that experience, because when you're doing a first ascent, you really don't know what's there. It could be anything above you. It's like, who knows what's gonna happen. We are up here belaying Mark on what might wind up being one of the cruxes of this route. He's leading this big roof.
A graphic rectangle frames the roof on the route.
A roof is an overhang that juts out from the cliff face. This one is about 200 feet up the route, and there's really no easy way around it.
Watch me.
Watching you.
The climbing rope slowly runs through Foucault's hands as Mark climbs higher.
The roof is really not looking good. It's kind of extreme. I'm trying to think what you would do if you were here. I'm not really sure.
Okay, well, you gotta do what you think is best, but... Well, the main thing is where you think you can penetrate the roof, you know?
There's a crack going out the roof, but it's wicked thin, kind of like barely there, and that's where we want to be, is over there. You should probably come up and have a look.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that's fine with me.
Alex scales the rock.
Alex took the rope, and then the next thing we know, he's like just hanging like a sloth, and we're like, oh, I guess he's going for it.
All right, Mark, here we go, this is the crux.
Okay, I gotcha.
Alex inches sideways toward the edge of the underside of the roof. Gripping a crack in the roof's edge, his legs dangle.
Nice, Alex.
Yeah.
He wedges his heel into the crack and hangs sideways. He reaches for a higher handhold on the roof slip. He dangles one-handed and peers down.
He just totally did one of the most impressive pieces of climbing that I've ever seen, actually. Just on site, first ascent, dangling out a roof at a really high degree of difficulty. And it ended up being really the key to the whole route, getting out this giant roof, and put us in the perfect position, you know, to continue on from there.
Yeah, dude, nice work.
Alex stands anchored to the rock. Foucault ascends.
Now where the f*** do I go?
Just because you have a rope and equipment doesn't mean that you're actually safe. You know, you are way out there. You are on a remote wall in the far corners of Guyana. If you injure yourself, you know, there's no real way that you're going to be rescued or helped.
How is it down there, Fuka?
His hand slips.
Oh,
he reaches a handhold, glances down, and falls.
Whoop.
He swings from the rope.
Did something rip? Do you poke your out, or you just fall off?
It fell off.
Oh, yeah, cool.
A little slippery.
He dangles.
Woo.
You have to make sure that things are totally safe. This is a scary position to be climbing in. I mean, you feel like it's a scene from Cliffhanger or something.
Foucault climbs over the roof slip.
Yeah, Foucault. Pompeiato.
Wow, look at what Alex did. I can't believe how overhanging this is. You're like
quite overhanging.
30 to 40 feet out from the wall.
From here, it's still another 600 feet of sheer rock to reach a ledge where we can set up camp for the night.
From afar, the climbers appear as small specks on the cliff face. In the jungle.
This expedition, unfortunately, this is probably my last trip involving, you know, jungle hiking. I like to walk along. Slowly, looking at the moss, looking, I'll find an insect, I'll see an animal I wouldn't have seen if I was cruising along fast. And sure enough, just a minute ago, this little guy hopped up. It's a toad. Toads are frogs. Not all frogs are toads.
Bruce strokes the toad's belly.
What's not to love?
Holding up the toad, he smiles.
This is as pristine as it gets. Only our feet have been here that I'm aware of. It's wild and remote and beautiful as can be. I just want to be quiet and love it. Let it sink in. I'll be leaving the planet. Sometime. And I'll miss it.
Sunlight filters through layers of branches and leaves.
Well,
Bruce's eyes glisten. Clouds shroud the rock wall.
I'm about to head into the unknown here. We're a bit in a cloud, so everything's a little wet, which is unfortunate. That makes it obviously a little harder for climbing because all the holds are wet. But we're just gonna keep going and see how things play out.
Alex grips a small pockmark in the stone.
That was like the hardest climb of the day.
He climbs alone on the sheer rock.
Nice, Alex.
Yep. Want to make sure that it feels like a pleasure cruise up here.
He inserts an anchor in a crack.
Fuko and I at the belay here. Fuko's belaying Mark, who, let's see, can we see him below here? Oh yeah, there he is. He's still climbing up out of the crazy clouds. I guess this is why they call it a cloud forest. The wall above us looks, well, we'll just see. It looks very interesting.
Oh my God. It's full on literally Jenga.
Rock!
Mark tosses a rock.
Rock!
A big chunk of thrown rock disappears in the dense clouds below.
It's a little scary, Fuko.
Yeah, I know.
There was this lip that I had to turn to get up to the ledge, and almost every single hold was removable. And the thing that was so challenging and scary for me was that I had to remove it all without falling off.
Okay, Fuko, I'm questing on.
Debris kicks up dirt as it falls. Alex heaves himself onto a green ledge.
Woo! Yeah!
This is the exit to my pitch.
Mark scans dirt-covered rocks.
That
was scary. All right, we did it. We're on the ledge.
One, two, three.
Mark and a crew member pull on ropes.
Three.
It's getting dark on us, and we're still hauling giant bags. So much stuff.
One, two, three.
Now it's going to get interesting from the biology perspective because I'm going to be looking for frogs.
Dark clouds roll over the jungle. Nighttime, Mark hammers a bolt into the rock.
We're erecting our wall camp. Basically, we're just trying to settle in to our new home up toward the top of the cliff.
So the plan for tomorrow, we're gonna quest off on this traverse across this thing and try to get to the summit, and it's a guarantee that it's gonna be a wild adventure. Exploration, that's what it's gonna be tomorrow. Exploration in the name of science. On behalf of Dr. Bruce Means, we gotta try to find the frog. It's not gonna be easy.
In a time lapse, stars run across the sky as clouds lap at the Tepuis, the sky lightens. Ledge Camp.
We've been checking in from the expedition with Michael Strahan from Good Morning America.
Day 14.
Giving updates via sat phone of the progress of the expedition and what we're doing. It's pretty cool to be able to share this experience with the world as it happens.
Hey, Alex. How you doing, man? How's it going out there?
Hey, it's going great. We've successfully climbed a portion of this giant Tepuy, and we've made this large ledge system, which will connect to the actual summit. And so things are going great.
I heard the unfortunate news about Bruce. So what happened? And most of all, is he okay?
He has remained in one of the mid camps on the approach to the wall. We do have radio communications with the camp that he's in.
Roger, I'm here.
I'm as good as good can be.
We're finding all kinds of wonderful, exciting, and exotic new species.
That adds to the world's biodiversity, but also brings attention to this area as being a significant biodiversity hotspot.
So it's a team effort. It's not over yet.
The search continues, and I am ecstatic. Over.
All of this sounds absolutely incredible, but you guys, you stay safe on the final push to the top, okay? We're rooting for you guys.
The climbers trek through lush vegetation.
At the elevations where the vegetation occurs, it's very wet and prime habitat for all kinds of frogs and other animals. To find a vertebrate animal that's endemic to the cliffs themselves would be outstanding, would be a wonderful find.
On a steep incline, they partially dislodge plants.
This looks dangerous.
Go up through this little tunnel here, get along. I think the key is going to be to stay near the base of the cliff.
Mark climbs through brush.
Holy creepy crawly tarantula city.
Webs cover the brush.
There was spots where it was just impenetrable thickets like this where you're just like tearing your way through. And then eventually we popped out onto the Wayasapu Summit Plateau.
Summit Plateau.
Oh my God. This is freaking crazy looking.
In a foggy expanse, green spiky clumps of vegetation cover the ground, intermingled with spindly trees.
Look at that tree right there. That's like full-on Dr. Seuss.
Tufts of green top the trees. Pitcher plants and fuzzy red plants peek through tall grass.
Because Bruce couldn't make it up, it was our job on the summit to help him complete his life's work by searching for new species of frogs.
We're up on the plateau. We're not on the highest point, but we've basically made it to the top. Keep your eyes out. We're definitely like in froggy terrain. This is where now we really need the weather to be good, because now we have no shelter and we're out in the open, and of course,
clouds churn.
The clouds just come up over the side of the Tepuy, and then we're back into the fog. We can't see anything, and it starts raining.
The climbers take shelter under a rock overhang.
Are you cold? Come sit right here, Fuka.
I was almost hypothermic. I had to crawl with Mark inside a poncho beneath a rock.
With two guys under one poncho in a space blanket trying to stay warm on the summit here.
Yeah, this isn't exactly the summit glory we were hoping for. And we haven't been able to find the frog, and I'm soaked to the bone.
They rifle through the foliage.
Looking for frogs. Sort of like finding a needle in a haystack. Bruce seems to find them no problem, but it's not that easy.
Even if you hear the frog, it's so hard to get it.
Sounds like it's in the trees up here. Maybe.
Yeah.
I had an idea that we should look mostly on the bromelias, which is the perfect environment for a frog to hide, but I couldn't find it.
Mark scans standing water.
Oh, holy creatures.
What
kind? Tadpoles.
Oh, I got one.
Oh my God. I found a tadpole. I mean, obviously that's a sure sign that there's frogs around here. Hey, Bruce, it's Mark. Do you copy?
Hey, Mark.
Where art thou? Have you made it? Over.
We are indeed up on the top. We're on the plateau.
We found a puddle that was just absolutely filled with tadpoles.
Fantastic.
I could not be more excited. It'll be interesting to see what you got.
If you can grab it and bag it for me, and when you get back down here, we will have completed the entire transect.
Be safe, over and out.
Okay, sounds good. We'll check back in with you soon, okay? Over and out.
From above, clouds hang over the top.
The goal was to get Bruce up to the top of the cliff. It didn't go, you know, perfectly according to plan, but we did the climb. A first ascent up a tepui that has never been climbed before. We got to the top, we completed the elevational transect, and we found the tadpoles to bring down to Bruce, which might be the new species. That's what we came here for, and that's really important to me because I have seen what happens in other places out here, the logging and the mining, and I think if people know about this place and how magical it is, they'll protect it.
At the jungle camp, Bruce flips through his journal. The climbers trudge into camp.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Good to see you. High five.
Oh, don't get too dirty. I'm so wet.
Hey, dude. How are you, bud?
You look like you've lost about 20 pounds.
Hey, Bruce.
I'll take me catch it.
Wow.
So good to see you, man.
Likewise. This expedition's elevational transect has been hugely successful. We have the entire transect now, and this part of it, that from the summit all the way down to Double Drop, is the part we needed to establish, and boy, did we do that in spades. So I wish I'd been up there with you. That was something I had deep in my heart. However, you did it, and you did it for us.
A yellow mottled frog perches on a leaf.
Bruce has an infectious passion for biology.
I feel like we did something that matters.
To collect new species, to study them, to take DNA samples, and to basically see something that no one has ever seen before. You know, I mean, science has brought us a long ways, but I mean, we're still barely scratching the surface of what we understand in this world.
A brownish red frog's nostrils flare.
The tepuis are special places on the planet. You know, they're part of my life, my love, my career, and so this trip is one of the great gifts to me. And I'd love to do more. But if I don't get to do it, this will be a highlight of my life.
Bruce smiles. The tepui towers over the jungle surrounded by clouds. Words appear over snapshots of jungle frogs. DNA analysis of Bruce's samples confirms 5 new species were discovered on this expedition alone. Untold plants and animals remain undiscovered in the vast Amazon rainforest today. But without protection, they may disappear before we even know they exist. Fade to black. Learn more about how the National Geographic Society supports explorers who illuminate and protect the wonder of our world at natgeo.com/impact. Credits appear. Audio description created by Zoot Digital, written by Julia Windham, and narrated by Sophia Cruz.